As you're returning to your seats, well, you've already returned to your seats, so that's... we are continuing in our study tonight, Hark What the Herald Angels Sing. Good news, I will not force you to do a Christmas Carol challenge tonight, even though some of you may have studied up. What's that? You are ready to sing? So just so you know, there's no Christmas Carol challenge tonight, so you're off the hook on that. We'll let it end in a tie, and that way that nobody has bragging rights or any of that good stuff. So in the good Christmas spirit, we want to, just make sure nobody's a winner. Kidding. That was a joke. Hark what the herald angels sang. All right, we take our text from Luke chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so we broke that down into three different subjects, if you will. The first week, we talked about glory to God in the highest, putting God first, making sure that He is in His rightful place in our lives. How that Jesus was the ultimate example of placing God first. As a man, he was utterly and completely submitted to the Spirit of Almighty God. We talked about that in a little bit. And then last week, we talked about on earth peace. We talked about how that when we place God first, this peace that comes, the peace meaning tranquility and order, we have things in order, we have things in the right place. We talked about how that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That we're reconciled unto God through Him. We talked about how that we have the peace of God mentally in our minds, that we, even though we may be in a tumultuous situation, we may be experiencing trouble, we can still be at peace in our heart and in our mind through the peace that passes all understanding that comes from God. And then we talked about peace among our fellow man, how that we work towards reconciliation, how that when we really talk about the season and talk about getting together, that we could do so without there being tension, without there being animosity one toward another, that we could have peace one toward another. And so tonight, we're going to talk about goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. So let's look at this subject a little bit. Goodwill toward men. When God is in His rightful place, that's glory to God in the highest, there is tranquility and order, strife and vainglory being removed, that is peace on earth, this brings about good or goodwill toward men. So we understand that what the angels sang or what they heralded, as the Christmas carol would say, those three things, when done, if you will, and activated in our lives or acted out in our lives, they bring about good. We place God first, and we understand that He is in the rightful place when He is first and foremost. And then in that order, we have peace. We have peace with God, peace of God, and peace with our fellow men. Then that fosters good. That brings good. And so tonight, we're really focusing on the goodwill toward men. Of this, Jesus is the ultimate example. Of someone who was utterly and completely submitted to God, someone who understood the tranquility and the peace that came by putting things in the rightful place and understanding the importance of what is in life and what life is, and then what Jesus did in going about doing good. And so we're gonna talk about it, if you will, in some aspects. We're gonna talk about it in reference to His birth. I know that I've taught on this before, and I've talked about this before, the prophecy and what the angel told the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And some time ago, I did an in-depth study and search about where this place would be, and the Tower of Migdal, which is a place that overlooked Bethlehem, that was a place where the temple shepherds would take the ewe lambs that were about to give birth, and they would take these lambs to this place because it was a place of protection. It was a place of oversight where they could oversee the flock and still tend to the ewe lambs that were giving birth. And there, the little lamb would be born, and that lamb was a special lamb, because that lamb was to be used as a sacrifice in the temple. And these swaddling clothes that were wrapped around these little lambs were clothes that would protect it from blemish, that would keep it from harm, and that would help it. And so they would take these little lambs that were different from all the other lambs, because these were special lambs to be used in temple sacrifice, and they would wrap them in swaddling clothes. And so when the angel said, "This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger," the shepherds knew exactly where the angel was telling them to go. They knew by what the angel said, "This shall be a sign unto you." And they went and they found Mary and the babe. They found baby Jesus, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The swaddling clothes in which the baby Jesus was wrapped were those used to wrap newborn lambs born of temple sheep to be used later in sacrifice. And so his entrance as a baby, as an infant, foreshadowed his exit as a man. How that he would die, how that he would become the sacrifice. The Bible says that he is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so even in his birth, we find that it is goodwill toward men. Even in his arrival, it is showing that this is, as a result of his birth, there will be goodwill toward men. And then in his life, Jesus would live a life of goodwill toward men, and then give his life in sacrifice for the good of all. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then this is the final point that I will bring out. Jesus revealed God's goodwill toward men. Jesus revealed God's goodwill toward men. So let's look at this. Let's look at the birth. Now, especially around this time of year, this is something that we hear quite often. It is the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Matthew 1:23 is referring back to this prophet. This is the announcement. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Hebrews tells us that Jesus was the express image of his person. In other words, Jesus revealed unto the world God's goodwill toward men. Jesus showed in his life and in his death, Jesus showed was the epitome, the ultimate example of God's goodwill toward men. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is, now pay attention to this phrase, "God with us." His birth was announced, it was prophesied. This baby would be called Emmanuel, God with us. So let's look at his life. And I know I'm doing a 30,000 foot view, if you will. But what I really want to drive home is that Jesus is God's goodwill toward men. And if you and I in our lives endeavor to live like Jesus did, we pattern our lives. We truly want to be, and I know I use this term, but I do so with all intent, a Christian, a follower of Christ, and we truly want to be like him, then we have to place God first. We have to understand that there is tranquility and there's peace and order. There is peace with God, the peace of God. And we also need to understand that it is incumbent upon us to be expressions of God's goodwill. Bible says we are epistles seen and read of all men. We are to be an example of God's goodwill toward men. We are to be peacemakers. We are to be those that try to reconcile relationships. We are to be those that foster goodwill toward individuals. We are to be Christ-like. So let's look at his life. Notice what Nicodemus said in John chapter 3, verse 2. Same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Remember the prophet Isaiah? Emmanuel, God with us. Nicodemus is saying, listen, we, We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We understand that there's, and understand Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was had friends and acquaintances in high places when it came to the Jewish leaders. And Nicodemus is making a profound statement when he is coming to Jesus at night. He's saying, listen, we know. We can't deny what you do and how you're living in your life, the miracles that you do, and the goodwill that you do towards men. We cannot deny that God is with you. Now, did Nicodemus have a complete revelation of everything? No, not yet. But guess what? Nicodemus understood that this man was representing God's goodwill toward men. He's doing miracles. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's opening the blinded eye. He's unstopping the deaf ears. He goes about fostering peace and reconciled relationship. He's doing all these things, and we cannot deny that God is with you. We can't deny it. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Emmanuel, God with us. The angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, because of this birth, now because of this gift of God, now because of Jesus Christ, we see God's goodwill toward men revealed. And Jesus goes about doing good, healing all that were oppressed and all that were sick. He's living a life that is not about himself. It's about others. See, the greatest gift that I can ever give is me. How many families have seen kids grow up? Kids say, well, Dad always got me nice things, and he always provided for me, and he always did these things, but what I really wanted more than anything else is just my dad. What I really wanted more than anything else was just my family. What I really wanted, you see, the greatest gift I can give anybody is me. The greatest gift I can give my wife is me. The greatest gift I can give my children is me. That's the greatest gift. I can't, materials and all those other things that those things are not a substitute for me. Me. I'm the gift that they need, and I need to give myself for them. There's a song that comes on this time of year. It says, give this Christmas away. In other words, give yourself. Give the Christmas away. It's not about receiving. It's about giving. And the ultimate thing is giving of myself, giving of me. Jesus was the ultimate gift because he did nothing for himself. He did everything for everybody else. He went about doing good. He went about healing and helping and strengthening, and it was all about. He said, listen, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. I came to give myself away. That's the revelation of God's goodwill. You see, it's God's desire that we learn the lesson, and that we learn what it means to give ourselves away. You say, "Well, what do you mean, Pastor? What are you talking about?" I'm not just talking about giving ourselves to God, because you cannot give yourself to God without giving yourself to others. You can't. Jesus said, "Listen, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." New Testament writer went as far to say this way. You can't say you love God and hate your brother. You have to love your brother. You have to, and what's the greatest love? Well, let's look at it. is sacrifice. This is what Jesus said. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, here's the thing that stood out to me. I've read this verse of Scripture many, many times. But the very next verse, and remember, verses, divisions, those are put in by the translators. So it's a continuation of the same thought. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And this, understand this, this is the secret to an abundant life. An abundant life is not about things for yourself. The secret to an abundant life, an abundant life is lived by living what the herald angels sang, by giving yourself away. Because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus did not give his life, catch this, for us to have all these blessings. Jesus gave his life so that we would give all the blessings away. Catch this. Because Jesus revealed that abundant life, God's goodwill, is giving yourself away. God's goodwill is that you give you to others around you. Look at this. Whoa. Matthew 5:16. Let your light show shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light show shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then look at this, John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Abundant life is not about getting. An abundant life is about giving. What makes it abundant is when I give it. When I hoard it, I keep it all for myself. I don't share what God has given unto me. I am not living an abundant life. I don't care what kind of possessions I have. I don't care what kind of house I live in, what kind of car I drive. I don't care how much money I have in the bank. I am not living an abundant life until I learn how to give myself away. Till I learn, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. Greatest gift I can give is me. My time, my effort, my resources, my abilities, my talents. He gave it all for me. Guess what? He did it whether or not I ever give him anything in return. He did it regardless of whether or not I will ever take what he has given and give it away. See, God has given you peace so that you would extend peace to someone else. God has given you joy that you would extend joy to someone else. God has given you talent and ability so that you would not keep it for yourself. No vainglory, but that you would place him first. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, that I would use these things to foster peace, that there would be tranquility and order, and that that would bring goodwill toward men. Hark what the herald angels sing. Place God first. Find and foster peace by living an abundant life and doing good works or good toward others. We got a few minutes here. I want to ask you, and I know this is kind of spur of the moment, but maybe somebody has a quick story that they, a most memorable Christmas season story about something that was given to you by someone else that you know was a great sacrifice, that you know was something that someone really gave of themselves. And it doesn't have to be something that's worth a lot in the sense of materialism, but something that someone did. Maybe it was time. Maybe it was effort on their part. Anybody got a quick story of something that happened to you around this time of year that you could say, hey, I got something to share, Pastor, about what happened to me in my life where it was good. I know it was an example of God's goodwill towards me that came via somebody else. Anybody? Just doors. For you. That's cool. Alex? Awesome. Sure. Very cool. And I know please understand, I'm not trying to be cliche here, but isn't it true that the most meaningful gifts have meaning behind them? I know you say, well, the meaningful, adjective meaningful would indicate that. But when you think about those things that you have received, and really you don't have to think in reference to the Christmas season, but the things that you have received in your life, the things that are most meaningful are things that have meaning behind them. Where it's not just a possession or a material. It's something that has a meaning attached to it. I know of something that I have, and I don't have any idea what the value of it is. I don't know. Could be worth a lot of money. Could be worth, you know, just whatever it is. But my grandmother passed down to me, who's gone on now, but she passed down to me my grandfather's coin collection. And now I have a coin collection, and he took the time to put them in the little cardboard inserts and write the dates on them with a special letter and all those different things. And so I have this little banker's box in my safe at home that has this coin collection, and I don't know what it's worth. Could be worth a lot of money. Could be worth just whatever the coins are worth. I don't know. But every time I get it out and I look at it and I go through those coins, I think of my grandfather. And I didn't know him that well. He passed away when I was 6 years of age. But guess what? It has meaning attached to it. And my grandmother thought of me out of all the other grandchildren. Ha, ha, ha. No. She thought of me. It's kind of a joke around our family. My Grammy on my dad's side, her way, and I'll try not to get emotional. She lived on a fixed income. She was didn't have much money at all. She lived in a little trailer. Very intelligent woman, had full ride scholarships. You've heard me talk about Grammy before. She's a matriarch of our family, rather. But during the holidays, and one of the things that gets me about, she would all year, she would save up food stamps and other things that she would get, and she would get all of this stuff, and she would buy a little extra throughout the year as she went the whole year, and she would store it in her freezer so that when the family came, she could put on a huge spread
And, man, she would stay in the kitchen, and she would cook, and she would cook, and she would cook. And I've always been kind of a schmoozer, I guess, but I would always say, "Oh, Grammy, that's the best red velvet cake. And, oh, Grammy, those are the best apple pies." And so growing up, as I did that, they became known as Nate's red velvet cake and Nate's apple pies. And she would make sure, she, before any of the other family, has Nate had one of those yet? And they'd ask me, "Hey, have you had an apple pie yet?" "Nope, I'm going to get one, and then you can have some." But the thing was, Grammy saved all year, a little bit here and a little bit there, because she had expectation of all the family coming together, and she was going to be able to put on all this bread, and she did it all year long so that she could provide for us. And for me, some of the most meaningful meals I've ever had in my life were ones that Grammy cooked. Anybody else? Got a few more minutes of the day. Certainly. Wow. Very cool. Sister Chris?
Wow. That's awesome. Why don't you stand? Go ahead. Wow. Sure. Final question. These things that you've heard, things that you probably can recall, meaningful to you. What about being that for someone this year? What about, as they say, paying that forward? Thinking about how it made you feel. Gratitude, appreciation that you had. And why don't you think about, ask God to help you, lead you, how you can be that for someone else. Whether they have gratitude or whether they're appreciated or not. Do it just out of a desire to do goodwill toward men. Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you. The ultimate example of what it means, God. Lord, that we would seek to emulate in our lives, God, what the angels sang. Lord, that we would place you first. That we find peace, God, in you and with you, God. And that we would in that operate by doing good to those around about us, God. That we would give of ourselves for the benefit of others. That we would lay down our lives, God. Give us, Lord, for those around about us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We give you glory and praise for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go. In Jesus' name, stay warm. Bundle up. We'll see you Saturday night for the first production of Christmas at Oakleaf Manor. God bless you.